now. Let me get to YouTube here.
The frame's fixed, but it's imperfect, I guess.
It's what?
It's imperfect, but it's fixed.
Well, is it going to look like shit?
I don't think so. The part that I fixed is fine.
What's imperfect?
The black part is not perfect, but...
Okay, good evening, everyone. Let's go ahead and get started. This is Steve Olson filling in for Kurt Mortensen for you this evening. It's 7 o'clock Eastern on the dot right now, 4 o'clock Pacific, and that is our start time, so we're going to go ahead and do that. And I'll just introduce myself to you very briefly after we go through the typical conference call etiquette. I'm sure you're all experts on it by now. But to just go ahead, if you're somewhere where it's noisy or there's going to be background noise, go ahead and hit star 6 to mute yourself out. And that way we can keep it in an atmosphere where you can ask questions, you can hear each other, and just hit star 6 again to come back into the call and ask whatever questions or make whatever comments that you need to. I certainly encourage them. I want to hear about your questions and comments, and we want to make this constructive and useful for you so you can all become pro persuaders at whatever your business may be. I've known Kurt for quite a while. A couple of together right now in Indianapolis, Indiana, doing investment property full time, focused on really on that. But every now and then, Kurt and I together and work on some persuasion things and some persuasion projects together. And he is the lucky dog. Usually, you know, if he's out of town, he has me feeling, but this time he's out of town in Italy doing a speaking engagement there for a company, and it's just tough duty. And the reality is, and so Kurt decided, hey, nobody better than me, right? So he's out there in Italy doing a speaking gig right now, and I'm here to help you out and to fill in. So what we want to talk about today is something that is very crucial to your persuasion skills. You know, Kurt always talks about the laws of persuasion and different topics and such. This is something that can be applied across the board, no matter what persuasion or negotiation technique that you're using. And he may have touched on it before briefly, but we want to go into some detail here tonight, and we'll go for 20-30 minutes or so. But what we're talking about specifically tonight is personality types. Personality types are something that is documented to exist. In fact, people who have really studied it in depth have found that there are actually 64 different personality types. And that basically means how people like to express and receive information and how they understand it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sharp enough of a knife to be able to deal with 64 personality types when I'm talking to somebody. Well, are they personality type number 39 or 47 or 12 or... You know, that'd be pretty confusing for somebody like me. So many people have distilled it into different groups, and in its simplest form, personality types can be distilled into 4 main groups. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. People identify them through all different kinds of words and phrases. Some use animals, some use shapes, colors, personality characteristics. We're going to use colors tonight. And if you want to learn more about this, the closest thing to it is a book called The Color Code by Dr. Taylor Hartman. And that book deals more with how to use and manage personality types in your personal life with those are really that you're really close to. We're going to kind of apply that to how to use them in the persuasion sphere and how to get good results when you're using the law of scarcity, for example, or the law of dissonance, or applying the 5 C's of trust. Which personality window should you do that through? And so that it speaks most effectively to your prospect or to your client. So what I want you to do, if you're taking notes on your computer or on a notepad or whatever, I want you to write these 4 colors and put some space below each of them so that you have plenty of room to write and take notes. First, I want you to write red. Then blue, and then yellow, and then white. I want you to put by red, aggressive. By blue, put analytical. By yellow, put social. And by white, put passive. If I had to come up with a word to describe each of them, that's what it would be. So what we're going to do first here is we're going to talk about some of the dominant characteristics of each of these personality types. And while we talk about it, inevitably, your mind is going to be going crazy with people that you know that fit into each of these categories. And that's a good way to think about it, too. It helps you understand it a lot more. So we'll talk about some of the dominant characteristics, talk about how to identify that personality type, and then I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to deal with them in the persuasion sphere, like I talked about a little bit earlier. Okay? So let's go to the red personality type. I say aggressive, and immediately some of you are thinking of people that you know that fit into this personality type, right? These are the people that are real drivers. They like to be in charge. They don't like to take no for an answer. They can come across as cocky or rude or abrasive. They are very good leaders. They like to take charge, and that's good and bad in some cases. They want the bottom line. They don't want all the fluff. They don't want to be asked about how their day was. They don't want to hear about your kids. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means that they have other concerns. Very bottom line oriented.
Hang that thing up. I gotta listen to this.
Now, your blue personalities are analytical. They're detail oriented. They're much more introverted than the reds. They want to take the time to go through the studies and go through the statistics. More reserved. And if I get going too fast here, feel free to stop me. Your yellow personality types, I like to say they're kind of flamboyant. They're out there. They're very social. They're very expressive and outgoing. They like to talk. And your whites, the passive ones, are very nurturing. They're very friendly. They're not typically the one to make the contact. They're very friendly. They're going to ask about you. They want to know what they can do to help. You oftentimes find whites apologizing for everything under the sun for no reason. A really good way to identify personality types is by the space that they occupy most, which is usually their office or their workspace, and their career. Usually people's personality type is going to guide them to a career that that fits these. If somebody's really miserable in their career, it means that they picked a career that isn't conducive to their personality type. The career could be something that's not really that fulfilling, but as long as it scratches that itch on the personality side of things, they can last quite a while doing that career, even though it may seem on the outside like it's something that's relatively meaningless. So if you look at your reds, these are going to be people that are in charge. Executives, police, military, entrepreneurs, CEOs. Many times judges are this way, or they can seem that way after years on the bench and all the bull that judges hear. They come across as very red. Some attorneys may be red, although I've found that depends on the area of law that they're practicing. businessmen and executives, or business people rather. And if you go into a Red's office or a Red's workspace, it's going to look like an organized messy. Okay? It's not going to look like a tornado went through there, but, you know, there's, it's going to seem like it's a little bit cluttered. Not to the Red, it's not. The Red knows exactly where everything's at. And he's not worried about what people think about the workspace. That's the Red's domain. That's her territory. And she knows exactly what's happening there. Funny thing you'll notice is Reds don't typically have a place to sit in their office for other people. If they do, then it's not their doing. The company that I consult for here in Indianapolis, the CEO is very Red, and he had to put a couch in his office the other day, and he absolutely hated it. He said, yeah, it's going to be a place for people to sit down and waste time. And so he made the couch as small and as uncomfortable as possible because he didn't want to make people think that he was a shrink and that they could just go in there and chat his whole day away. That it really would pull against his subconscious need for control and to be the driver, right? So that was rare, but because I know him, I know that it was against his will to have that couch in there. How about blues? Blues are going to gravitate towards positions and careers that allow them to analyze engineers, software programmers and developers, technicians, scientists, many professors. They like to get into the data. They like to get into the numbers and find out what makes sense. That's how they understand the world. Everything is numbers or everything is logic-oriented. Nothing frustrates a blue more than feelings. Feelings are not logical. Why would you have them? It doesn't make any sense, right? And their office is going to be very, very neat. Everything has its place. Everything is filed. They don't have anything in there more than what is necessary. Oh, another fun one to bring up, I forgot, is the kind of car these people drive. You know, blues are going to drive something that's, you know, typically very economical. It's not flashy. It's going to be white or black, unless the green one was a much better deal, right? Economical from a fuel standpoint. If it's a pickup, it's going to be a small one. Could be some kind of a hybrid. Very efficient cars. Whereas reds will drive something more powerful and more solid. Let's talk about yellows. Yellows are going to be in sales, in marketing, in acting, in art, or some kind of a promotional field that allows them to be the center of attention, to get out there and talk and be in front of people and interact with people. They love that. That's their drug. Yellows crave, above all else, some validation. Their office is going to look like a hurricane hit it if they do have an office. Yellows kind of hate having an office. They want to be out there. They want to be in the mix. They'll have pictures of family and the dog and cool things that they've done in the office. Probably one of the easiest personality types to identify, I would say. They're going to drive a flashy car if they can help it. Bright color, really fast, really big. Or very opinionated. They'll have a lot of stickers on the back about the government, politics, and whatever.
I got to run and work tonight.
Okay. You're going to be your yellows.
Yeah, so it's
now your whites are a little trickier. Sometimes when you start getting to know a white, they could masquerade as a yellow because they're friendly. They can be very personable, make you feel good. Keep in mind, if the person is making you feel good and letting you talk, that's not a yellow, okay? The yellow wants to talk. They want to be the ones talking about themselves, where the white has an inherent need to nurture and to make people feel important and valued. So they will instinctively go to that. their office is going to have the couch. They're going to offer you something to drink. They're going to ask you how you're doing. Is there anything I can get you? They're going to be school teachers and social workers, and many times they're nurses, those kinds of professions. A lot of stay-at-home moms or wives, or at least that may be a secondary personality for them. And I should let you know, some of you are thinking this already, well, is it possible to be more than one? You know, I kind of relate to two of these. Yeah, it's definitely possible. And what we found is that most people have one that dominates in the work atmosphere and one that dominates in their personal relationships. I tend to be kind of red in the work atmosphere and a little bit more white in my personal relationships. You can be something different, some kind of combination of two of the personality types. If any of you is in a profession where you've got a call or you got a cold call to do some marketing or whatever, listening to somebody's voicemail recording is actually a big tip as to how to decide what kind of personality type they are. If the message says, hi, this is Bob, leave a message. That's going to be your red, right? If it says, hi, this is Bob, I'm not in right now, please leave me a message and I'll do the best to return your call. Leave your message slowly and clearly, and I return calls between 7 and 9 p.m. All right, that screams blue, doesn't it? They gave you all the instructions, mapped out everything. Because they deal in the logical, they deal in the analytical world. People typically communicate with others the way they like to be communicated with. And that's why you as a persuader sometimes run across prospects that you feel like are talking Chinese to you, that you could just never hit it off with or never get a good relationship with, because you're trying to deal with them the way you like to be dealt with. Sorry, I digressed there a little bit. How about your yellow message? Right? Do I even have to tell you this? Hi, this is Bob. I'm not in right now. Make it a great day and leave a message, and I'll call you back after I get done climbing Mount Everest. Right, whatever it is. It's the biggest thing that they're working on. It's a very high-energy message, typically. And whites, you're even going to hear some inherently apologetic language in how they record their messages. It'll be like, hi, Bob, I'm sorry I missed your call. Please leave me a message, and I'll try to call you back as soon as I can. I mean, they miss your call, and it's not their fault, but they're already apologizing for it because of that inherent need to nurture and to help move things forward, make everything run smoothly. Whites function very well in support roles, and they're very needed in the business atmosphere. So there you go. Those are some good ways to identify personality types, and we can take some more questions when we wrap up here in just a minute. I want to give you a few tips on how you can deal with these different personality types as well. And when we consider the red personality type, get to the point. Some people think, oh, I should never be friendly. I should never do those kinds of things with a red. If you have a personal relationship with a red, they're actually some of the most friendly people in the whole world. But if you don't have a personal relationship with them, then you don't have one. Don't try to do it. That's going to unfold naturally as they develop a little bit of trust with you and think that you bring something of value to the table. So when you're dealing with them, get to the point, be concise. Make things their idea. They like to be in control. Make things their idea. Well, Bob, this is the kind of product that I do, and these are the results that the product typically gives. You know, only you would know if that's of any value to your organization or not. Well, yeah, of course that's of value. All right, they'll come back like that. I've noticed the ego challenge is something that works really effectively with reds. Well, Bob, I don't know. Are you the right person to be talking here? Am I spending my time on something that's worth my time? Ooh, that'll fire him up real quick. Challenge the ego. Don't bruise it, though, or the red will come back and hit back. Okay, don't bruise it. There's a big difference between bruising the ego and challenging it. On your blues, you need to give them some space to do the research. But don't give them all the space in the world, otherwise they'll never make a decision. Welcome to the era of information, where all the information that you want or need is out there, and a blue will take that time to go over it. So create some controlled scarcity with the blue. Say, okay, Mr. Blue, obviously you need to do your research. With what we've talked about here, am I on the right track? Well, it seems like you're on the right track. Okay, what other research do you feel like you're going to need to do in order to be comfortable moving forward? I'd like to give you some time to do that and make a logical decision here for yourself. I'm probably going to need a week. Okay, well, tell you what, can we do 5 days? I always like to give them a little bit less because they always like to get a little bit more. Can we do 5 days? Is that adequate for you to get the research done that you need to? Yeah, I think that would be adequate. Okay, then what we'll do is we'll set an appointment for this, Tuesday, at this time to reconvene, go over the information that you've reviewed, and if everything looks good, then we could talk about what it looks like moving forward. Does that sound okay to you, Mr. Blue? They're in control. They get to do the research, but you've put some boundaries on it so that they can't run wild analyzing this thing to death for the rest of time, which they will do if you let them. On your yellows, it's all about the fun. It's all about letting them talk. It's all about, whoa, you really climbed Mount Everest? Oh, that is so cool. With the yellows, you never have a bigger or better story. One of my favorite shows, and you can hold it against me if you want to, but my wife and I have always liked to watch The Office on NBC. And there's a great scene in there where the sales manager is taking one of the other salesmen out with him on these sales calls. And they go into this executive's office, and he's got a fish up on the wall that he caught. And the office manager says, oh, wow, did you catch that up at Lake Wallenpaumpack? He says, yeah, I did. He says, wow, I've been up there a million times and never caught anything that big. And, you know, this is, of course, flattering the manager's ego. And the assistant sales rep comes in and talks about how he caught an 80-pound shark in the ocean, and he shot it with a rifle from the crow's nest of the boat. He comes in there with a bigger and better story, and all it does is just annoy everybody. You never have a bigger and better story than the yellow. So, just like you deal with time on the blues, you also deal with time on the yellows. You have to book out a little bit extra time, but you also have to know how to make the gracious exit when the yellow starts talking too much, because they will. You have to be able to make that exit without hurting their feelings or making them feel minimized. They're in the middle of the story. They're going forever. Said, geez, Bob, that is a great story. You know, I got this appointment coming up in 5 minutes. Can we set something up to talk more? You're a riot. I'd love to talk more. And hey, you know, maybe we can do some business together. It'd be fun. Right? You really don't have to spend much time on the fine print with the yellows. To them, it's more about the relationship and the action. Okay? On white personality types, the one biggest thing I would tell you, whites tend to gravitate towards people, especially reds, that are going to make the decision for them. You've got to find out if this white is even able to make the decision. You may go through the whole sales cycle and the whole sales process talking to somebody that just simply does not have the authority to make the decision. You got to find that out as soon as possible. Assuming that that is the case, let the white know. Let them know that, hey, we're here for you. And we really care about the success of our clients, and we want to make sure that you've got all the resources. Sometimes, you know, you may need my help. I'm here. This is my personal cell. Give me a ring anytime. I'm happy to help out. And it never hurts to nudge the whites a little bit, too. Remember, whites want to preserve the status quo. They want the nurture. So if you give them a relationship to preserve and to nurture, they will go for it. And sometimes that means closing the sale. And that's their instinct to want to do it, to preserve that status quo. That makes sense. So, there you guys have it. I kind of gave it to you for the last 25 minutes or so. Do we have any questions or comments or concerns or, as Kurt says, rude remarks about what we've covered tonight?
Well, you kind of, this is Bob Moran talking from Florida. As I was listening to you, it sounds to me like the theory or the discipline you're talking about is something you'd want to study just about your whole life. I mean, you can't pick up on that in a 20-minute telephone conversation. There's no way.
There absolutely is no way. This is a good way to get tipped off on it and and set some goals. But yeah, I've found that learning persuasion, it's a soft skill. It's not like riding a bike and you just know it forever. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since I've ridden a bike, but if you put one in front of me, I can get on it and ride it just fine. But with persuasion, is more like exercise. You have to do it regularly to stay in shape. And I would encourage you, you said your name was Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. I would encourage you, Bob, take two or three things that you've heard tonight and focus on making them habits over the next month. And then you can move on to the next set of skills, because I can bombard you with stuff on the phone. We could talk all night about, hey, here's this neat persuasion technique and here's that. But you've got to put it into your repertoire. It's got to be an arrow in the quiver, something that you can habitually use over and over again without thinking. Because if you try to think about all this stuff, it's just going to overwhelm you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it already has. I mean, I'm hearing you talk about the blue and the red and the white, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's different kind of personality types, and I think all of us, and I could be wrong on this, you can correct me if I am, but all of us adjust ourselves almost automatically to the personality type we're talking to. If we want to get from point A to point B, we better damn well do it their way. We better damn well listen to what they have to say. We better, you know what I'm saying, if they're not doing any talking, then I'm going to be doing the talking. If they're doing the talking, I'm going to be doing the listening. Isn't that kind of, don't we kind of just do that normally?
Well, if you did do it normally, you'd have a lot more sales. I'm not saying you don't have any right now. I'm saying if we fine-tune this skill, then your ability to connect with more people goes up substantially. You may decide, you know what, in my profession, I deal almost exclusively with reds and yellows, right? So it may be, okay, I need to learn how to differentiate a little bit better between the two of those. I need to try to focus on giving reds control and letting yellows talk. That may be a takeaway from today's call for you. It's just an example. Anybody else have any other questions or comments from tonight's call?
Yeah, this is Mark in New Mexico.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. I was just thinking what might help, though, too, is when we come across people in our day-to-day life, is keep the red, blue, yellow, white scenarios in our mind and see if we can't categorize them just by meeting them, not necessarily in our business, but in our everyday dealings with people, using what you've given us tonight to identify them and put them in the category that's there. I think that way it would help us to really be able to remember those groups better.
That's a great suggestion, Mark. You know, and the best way to take a step forward in applying this stuff is to first of all realize that it's there to apply. And that may be a starting point for many of you tonight. As you meet people this week, let's have it in our conscious mind as to, well, what personality type are they? And start having that at least register so that you're aware of it. Now, as it starts to register a little bit more naturally and you find yourself doing it all the time, then maybe it's time to phase in some more of the skills that we talked about this evening. That's a great suggestion.
Well, the reason I make that is because my mentor was helping me to really see all the laws of persuasion. Every time we'd go over one together, he'd say, take this week and observe all around you and observe when that law of persuasion is being used on you. And when I did that, that really helped me to see that, like you said, we're surrounded by persuasion every day of our life. So it helped me to be able to recognize that law better.
Great, great comments. I appreciate it. And anybody else have any questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Jim. And
hey, Jim.
I think it might be important to identify what color I am. I feel like a rainbow right now.
Yeah, that may be something to pick up the color code. That's a good book by Dr. Taylor Hardman that kind of diagnoses it. If after the call tonight you're still kind of wishy-washy on which one you are, you may want to do that. He takes you through all the tests. You know, you answer, I think, 50 or 60 questions about you know, how you run your daily life and you're numerically ranked. And, you know, some people can come out somewhat even on them, but we always have one that's more or most dominant. Even if it's not by very much, you always do. Anybody else have any other comments or questions?
How do you spell the last name of that author of the book, Color Code?
Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N.
Thank you.
No problem. All right. Well, anything else? Speak now or hold your peace until next week.
Yeah, we came in just a little bit late. What was your name?
My name is Steve Olson.
Okay, Steve.
And you're all certainly welcome to email me with any questions you have. I'll just give you my personal address here. It's Steve Olson, that's spelled S-T-E-V-E-O-L-S-O-N .P-I, like private investigator. I'm not one. @gmail.com. So steveolson.pi@gmail.com. Got any questions about applying this? You know, sometimes you've got questions about your business and the subject matter that you don't want to air out on the line in front of everybody, and I understand that. So feel free to email me if that's the case. Okay. Well, I think we're going to call it a night then. You all have been very well behaved and good questions. I can tell you're thinking about things and wish you the best of luck. Email me if you have any more comments or questions, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. Kurt will be back next week. Have a nice night.
Thanks, Steve.